If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. One of the most blessed chapters in the Bible. You know, the Bible says God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? He gave him for us because he loved us. That's 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 tells us to love one another as God loved us. You know, in Matthew there it says, love the Lord with all your heart, and then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so this love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we love God, and we love people. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 really shows us what love in action is. It's charity. Somebody described it as love in work clothes. And we will read the chapter. It's a short chapter, 13 verses. And it's just jam-packed. There are 11 things, 11 points. I won't go through all of those points. We would be here too long. But we'll see what God has for us. Just pray as I preach that God gives direction. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That's an amazing statement. Amen? No profit. It's just nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Faith, hope, charity, but the greatest is charity. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for how you love us. How that love changes us. And I pray, God, that we would be a blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to direct your attention to verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. All things. And when you think about that term, boy, that's all the way through the scripture. We have Mark chapter 4 where it's the parable of the seed and the sower. And on the thorny ground where the word falls, it says the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke the word. When Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation in Matthew chapter 4, the devil said, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Remember, Paul said, I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. There's different perception about things in the Bible or how things affect you, but it's important to know that God is the God of victory over all things. Amen? And he gives us all things richly to enjoy. Obviously, that's talking about holy things and pure things. But in our text, it says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 is in the way of a little bit of background here. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity covers, and we'll show you the truth of that in a minute. It says, have fervent charity. There's another text that says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is something that's in us. This is something that is important to us. This is when the desire comes and is fulfilled. It's a tree of life. It's just such a blessing. You have Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. If somebody talks to you about somebody else, they'll probably talk to somebody else about you. You know, that's an old saying. And so to cover that, to not spread that, charity covers all of that. Remember the story back, I think it's Genesis chapter 9, where this is after the flood, and Ham goes in and sees his father's nakedness, Noah's nakedness, because he had gotten drunk. And the other two boys heard that, and they took like a blanket, and they walked backwards and covered their father's nakedness. They did not want to look on their father's nakedness. That wasn't right to do. So they covered that. That's what we're talking about. It's a good thing to do. Amen? You see somebody, and maybe there's a problem or this. Nobody needs to know about that unless you're going to pray about it. Amen? But it's talking about a covering. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Where we hide our sins and tell people about somebody else's sins rather than exposing our sin and covering somebody else's sin. Did you get that? Okay, if not, buy the CD, amen, $29.95, and you can listen to it over and over again. We have in Luke 6:41, why beholdest the mote that's in thy brother's eye? And it says, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye. The next verse says, thou hypocrite, first get the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see to help your brother get the mote out of his eye. Amen? And so what we're doing here, when we look at charity, charity is something that God has done in us, and like he does for us. He hides a multitude of sin because God is love, and love does that. Amen? But he's very merciful. He's very kind. He's very long-suffering. We have in Luke chapter 18, verse 11, remember this Pharisee stood and prayed thus, I thank God I'm not like this man. And he didn't see his own fault. There's a reason I'm showing you this. But he didn't see himself. He didn't see the beam in his own eye either. You have Psalm 73. David said, I was envious at the foolish. So he looked at people and he said they were foolish. But later on in Psalm 73, he says, I was foolish because he saw something in himself. We have Isaiah chapter 3, the great prophet Isaiah. In chapter 3, two times. In chapter 5, six times, the prophet says, woe unto them, woe unto them. Until chapter 6, when he saw the Lord, he says, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone. And so all of this focus on somebody else was just negative, but then he saw his own sin. We have, look with me at Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Turn over there. I'll give you just a minute. When you see how merciful God has been to you, it helps you to be merciful with somebody else. Amen? And there's so many stories in the Bible about this, but this bears reading tonight, today. Verse 21, let's start there in Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Forgave him every penny. Amen? That's a pretty good story. That's a wonderful story. goes on and says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, not much at all. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, and this is word for word what this guy just said, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? See where the focus is? It's real easy to see what somebody owes you rather than what we owe the Lord. And the Lord's been very gracious and forgiven us over and over and over again. Romans 2:1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband Uriah killed, and he's hiding his sin, and the prophet Nathan comes up and says, I have a story to tell you. And he tells him the story about the man, the poor man that had a little baby ewe lamb, and how this rich man who had all kinds of flocks came and took that little baby ewe lamb and killed it so he could feed his friends. And so he tells that story to David. And in verse 5 of 2 Samuel 12, David's anger was kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Now the judgment in the Bible was only restore fourfold, but he went a step further and he said, that man has to die. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. God did that for David. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. He did that. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. All right, now, with that exposure, with that reasoning, David does Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Because he saw his own sin, and he was willing to confess it. Amen. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. That's what the Bible says. And so many times we get focused on what somebody else is doing wrong, and that creates something in us that is difficult to live with. Amen. It creates a bitterness. It creates an anger. In Genesis chapter 31, Jacob goes to Laban's house. Remember, Jacob had just deceived his father and said he was Esau so he could get the birthright. Remember, he lied to his father. He was deceitful. And so he's with his wife, and they're going to leave. And Jacob says to his wife, your father Laban has changed my wages 10 times. He has deceived me. This is what Jacob is saying. Jacob had deceived his father. And a lot of times we look again at what somebody else is doing rather than what we have done. Job, we have Job in the Bible, Job 42:10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, I wrote this down because I always forget one of these. But this is how the Bible describes his three friends, or at least how Job described them. Forgers of lies, physicians of no value, and miserable comforters. That's what those three friends were to Job. And God says, pray for them. That's what he said. And God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Miserable comforters, forgers of lies, and what was the third one? Physicians of no value. I'm glad I wrote it down. I can never remember all three of those. But he says, I want you to pray for them. And so he did. And that because of that, Job 42:5, Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The whole chapter he's justifying himself. The whole chapter he's arguing with these miserable comforters, these forgers of lies, these physicians of no value. I got it, Richard. He's arguing the whole chapter, and he's defending himself. And he finally, at the very end, the last chapter, he says, man, it's me. And God turned his captivity. Boy, that's a blessed truth in the Bible, but he had to see it. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we go to the Psalms. Search me, O God, know my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of righteousness. He says, God, you reveal that to me. I want to come to you, not about my brother, not about my sister, but, oh me, oh Lord, I'm in the need of prayer. Amen? And that's what charity is. Charity covers, but charity ministers. I don't know if you've ever made a charitable donation or you've been charitable towards somebody. You've given them something that they didn't have. When we give charity, when we give love, when we give all of these things we've talked about or we read in this chapter, that is the real essence of the Christian life. Amen? The essence of the Christian life is not getting even. It's being a blessing to somebody. So now we're ready to see this about charity. Charity is love, kindness, affection, tenderness, forgiveness, a supreme love for God and goodwill towards men. And we've given the definition in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Seeketh not his own, is not puffed up, all of the different things that are in that chapter, but we're going to go in a different direction. Verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. There's a reason God put those in there like that. There's no way to do that without charity. There's no way to do that. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so these things we're going to look at, they really are impossible without God helping, without charity. It says, beareth all things. Finally, or Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So God wants us to think the right way, because out of the abundance of the heart, amen, the mouth speaketh. Beareth all things. This is the idea of bearing up against evil. This is the idea of not only helping ourselves with God's strength, but helping other people. 1 Chronicles 5:18. I talked last week about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that weapon fights the enemy, but it also protects our loved ones. You have the sons of Reuben and the Gadites, a half-tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot the bow, and skillful in war. There's defensive and there's offensive. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do we do that? If we do, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Somebody else has a burden, a trial, a difficulty, whatever you want to put in there, it's a burden. But it also says, bear your own burdens. Let every man bear his own burden. We bear somebody else's burden, we bear our own burden. And we do that because God says that's charitable. Amen? It's not just how I'm getting along. How can I help my brother or my sister? It's not just defending myself against the devil. How can I defend my brother or my sister against the devil? Bear all things. Beareth all things. Then it says, believeth all things. How suspicious are you? Well, why didn't they shake my hand? You know? I mean, there's all kinds of things that can make a thought about somebody that is not even real, but suspicious, not trusting. I think we need to be ever ready to believe the good about people. Amen? And everybody has a little bit of whatever in them, but there's a lot of good in people. Amen? And again, we go back to the first point. If we get the beam out of our eye, we can help somebody get the mote out of their eye because we can speak the truth in love. Amen? And it's sincere. It's from our heart. In Zechariah 8:17, let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. For these things do I hate, saith the Lord. Against his neighbor. I've got neighbors. I've got neighbors behind me. I've got neighbors beside me, both sides. I got neighbors across the street. Amen? There's neighbors everywhere. And boy, you can pick a neighbor apart, you know. You ever get in a store and all the lines are full? And so you're going to go in one that seems to be good and somebody jumps right in front of you? Well, the Christian thing to do is kick them in the leg, you know. I mean, you ever drive in your car and somebody's a, they're not a smart driver. What's the word? They're the opposite of a smart driver. Charity? Oh, jerk? Anyway, and we get upset. We were coming back from somewhere down south, my wife and I. We were in the car, and we were on a, like a 94 from down south, and there were two trucks, and they were one in one lane and one in the other, so you couldn't go around them. And they were going real slow. And my wife is here, so I have to tell the truth. Didn't bother me at all. I was just praising God for going slow, and, you know, I know there was a reason. No, it wasn't like that at all. I said, man, these truck drivers are not smart. I think I used the other, anyway. And it was miles. It was a long time. And they held the traffic back. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one griping. And finally, one pulled over, and we saw there was an older gentleman. He had had a wheelchair scooter on the back of his car, in a rack, and he had gone off the road and flipped the car, and he was stuck in that car. And what happened is he was going like this for miles, and those trucks were holding everybody back to protect that man. Wouldn't it have been better for me to say, well, I'm sure they have a good reason for doing this, you know? But sometimes we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. We see things as we are. And so God says, now come back to this. Believeth all things. Believe the good in people. Believeth all things. I think that's a good thing. It says, there's another companion verse in Zechariah 7:10. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. So love one another. That's what the church is. It's full of charity. You have hopeth all things. Hope for the best. Amen. Hope for the best. Oh, I've been here before. I've seen this. And right pretty soon we start going down. And you'll see the wisdom in this is a minute when we get to the next point. But hopeth all things. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Who's telling us that? God is. Amen. This isn't just a self-help book. This is God speaking to us. Beareth all things. Bear ye one another's burdens. Every man shall bear his own burdens. Believeth all things. Believe the best in people. Don't be suspicious. That's one of the points we read in the chapter. Believe the good. Amen? And then you come to hopeth all things. Hope for the best. Where it cannot even excuse something, it hopes that God will at length give repentance to somebody. Amen? You cannot excuse what somebody did, but you can certainly hope that they will not remain like that. Amen? So you speak the truth in love, and a soft answer turneth away wrath, or whatever, however it fits, the scriptures fit, you have a hope that something good is going to come from that. Amen? Joseph and his brothers. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Boy, they sure were repentant towards the end of their life. Psalm 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, Hope in God. Here I have a problem. Don't lose hope. Don't people say that? Don't lose hope. Hope thou in God. We have all of the instruction, all of the things that God wants to help us with, and then it comes down to this. Endureth all things. This is a little different than beareth all things. This is endureth. Beareth all things, it could be some trial or whatever, but endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you come to endurance, these are very, very difficult circumstances. If we can't keep up with the footman, how will we ever run with the horseman? If we can't just help our brother and help our sister and help ourselves and have the right attitude, what are we going to do when it really gets bad? Amen? And so we need to start putting these things into perspective. Whatever the injustice, the malice, the cruelty that men can inflict, there's an answer in the Bible. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So he says, endureth all things. Paul endured all things. Our Savior endured the cross. It says that in Hebrews. He endured the cross. He endured the shame. Why did he do that? The great love he had for people. How many times have I from this pulpit, and not only to you, but to myself, said that Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's amazing how it comes back to us. Endures patiently persecution and suffering. 1 Peter 2:23. There are some checks and balances in the Bible. And you can see how you're doing. Amen? If you've ever studied for a test and taken a practice test, maybe not the same, but you can take that and you say, boy, I didn't do too good on this one. I think I need to study a little more. Amen? And you go back and it puts everything in perspective. God has verses in the Bible that show us whether we're charitable or not, whether we're Christ-like, whether we're filled with the Spirit or not. And so we read that, and we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. Oh, I thank God I'm not like them. No, we compare ourselves to the Scriptures. And so we go to the Bible and we say, okay, this is to me, this is proof that I'm walking in the truth. This is proof to me. It shows me that I am filled with the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those things. So here, endureth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Well, so far I'm doing pretty good, Pastor. So far I got those pretty well down. Then it says, endureth all things. 1 Peter 2:23, speaking of our Savior, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And we are to walk as he walked. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That's how we endure. Amen? So, again, here's the text. He was reviled. Somebody threw it at him, evil speaking. He reviled not again. Sometimes we go back and forth. Amen? Do you understand the principle? Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's not be weary, so we do the right thing. You can't do that without charity, and charity never fails. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. This is difficult. These are hard things, and we endure them because we know when the devil can mess up our spirit, it affects other people. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Amen? But when God comforts us, we're able to comfort others with the comfort he gives us. That's charity. That's charity. There's 11 points I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, but rather than go through those again, you can read that anytime. And it's a good thing to read chapter 13 from time to time. It's a wonderful thing because it puts everything in perspective. Believeth all, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I've got some questions for you. Amen? This is kind of see how you're doing. Don't answer them out loud. And don't say, yeah, my wife needs this or my husband needs this. But just think of this. Have others believed the best about you in the past, even though you didn't give them much reason to hope for a turnaround in your life? Have others believed the best in you when you didn't give them a reason to believe the best in you? It's a good thing. Has anyone ever protected, concealed, or covered you in a time of weakness? Rather than pick you apart, they've been there with love and with encouragement, amen, and kept whatever was going on with you in their private time. What did that mean to you? Have you ever gone to that person and thanked him or her for doing that? Amen? That's a good thing, and that's a good person. Who's the one person in your life right now whom you're believing will make a big change in his or her life for the good? The one person that you can think of. How much time do you spend praying for that person? Hopeth all things. God, you can do this. I'm going to give me wisdom on how to deal with this. I want to show them the love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. Amen. It's so important. It comes across as love. Here's a paragraph. It's not mine, obviously, but I just want to read it. All of our positive expectations don't mean much when we essentially plan to pop back into a picture when things are a little less rocky. In other words, I'll help, but I don't want to take on too much. Amen? This looks like a pretty tough situation. If our fellow Christians are going to grow, it isn't God's design that they do it alone. And let's face it, some Christians' lives are train wrecks. Being close to these people means hassle, heartbreak, and offense. But Christians buy tickets for trains they know will wreck. Isn't that a good paragraph, if you got it? Amen. Remember the Moravian believers? They sold themselves as slaves to go into the mines so they could win the slaves that were there. They gave up their freedom. They never saw the light of day again. You can read about it. They gave their lives so they could witness to somebody who was in captivity. Boy, what an example of charity. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's difficult. You can only do that with God helping. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Galatians 6:1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Amen. The spirit of meekness. You have Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Wow. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful, unto the evil. There's a tendency in us when somebody isn't thankful for something, for us to get upset about that. And yet, look how good God has been to us. And sometimes we don't even remember that or remember to thank him. In everything, give thanks. The greatest of these is charity. And then the verse says, above all things, have fervent charity. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, but ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So here's the message, and I'm preaching the message, and I'm trying to show where the scriptures are so that we can know that love and that mercy and that forgiveness and share that with somebody, because that's where the power of God is. What drew you to be saved was God's love. It draws us, and the Bible says that, we're drawn with the cords of love. And that's how we draw people. We don't drive people to Christ. We draw them to Christ. In 1 John 2:27, ye need not that any man teach you, but we're taught of God to love one another. So here we are. Amen. Here we are in our church. It's a blessing. We come in, we talk, we love one another, we pray for one another, certainly, before we ever come together through the week. whatever the needs are, amen, and we're trying to encourage one another. Maybe we take a meal, maybe we do this or send a card or something. We just want to be a blessing, amen. That's God at work. Then we come to church, oh man, good to see you, you know. Maybe somebody will come back that hasn't been here for a while. Here's what we ought to do. Where you been? No, that doesn't work. Amen? Where you been? You better be here next Sunday. That's not going to do a whole lot. Amen? But if we say, boy, I sure missed you. Been praying for you. Whatever it is. Amen? People migrate to that. Amen? Doesn't matter how big or how little the church is. What matters is the Spirit. That's so important. And we have the verses, and we have the truth. But it's like what the devil does. He comes like a bird, and he steals the seed, and you forget everything that was said. You just, it's gone, you know. I knew it was something about don't run somebody off the road, but I don't remember anything else, you know. But try and remember, but go to 1 Corinthians 13. Read it sometime this afternoon, sometime this week. And just let God teach you. He's the best teacher. At our Bible Institute in Sturgis, had a bunch of preacher boys, and we're teaching them. And they're going to be missionaries and pastors. And I gave them a quiz, and I was being merciful to them that night. And I said, for extra credit, we only had 10 questions, for extra credit, who is your favorite teacher? If you give the right answer, you get extra credit. If you give the wrong answer, no extra credit. And Pastor, don't work. And, oh, good. You know, it was kind of a joke thing. But and one of the guys wrote, the Holy Spirit. Man, was I put in my place. Amen? And you can't mark that one wrong. It is God that worketh in you. It is God. We're taught of God to love one another. That's where it has to come from. Hasn't God been good to you? And maybe you're living right, and you got everything together, and God had a part in all of that too. And you see somebody who maybe is like you were, or is like you could have been. There but for the grace of God go I. And the truth of charity is it's love in work clothes. It's something that produces something. If we say we've got it and we don't produce anything, we don't have it. It does produce something. Charity, above all things, have charity, for it'll cover a multitude of sins. Amen? Just try and get somebody in your mind that needs the love of God. Say, wow, they're going to irritate me, or I don't think they deserve it. Did we deserve it? I mean, really? We deserve nothing. And God was so kind to us. He's rescued us. Amen? He's reconciled us to himself. And so he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are not aloof. We are not holier than thou. We are sinners saved by grace just like anybody. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. Thank you for your kindness to us. What a blessing. What a blessing. I pray that we would remember where we came from. We would remember what you've done for us. And we would have that kind of a spirit, that kind of mercy with other people. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.